So in terms of what is Lumina, so it's a learning tool, really. It's new generation psychometrics. It's a tool to understand personality. It draws on the best of Jung, which is what Myers-Briggs came out of, Jungian thinking. It's a really reliable, accurate, valid psychometric tool. It doesn't force dichotomies. So some Myers-Briggs, for instance, you'd be asked to choose between introversion and extroversion. And then you're somewhere on a spectrum. Whereas Lumina allows you to embrace the paradox in your personality, so paradoxes. It's also a positive psychology tool. It looks at qualities, it looks at your strengths, which I really like. So it's about traits, not typing you, not putting you in a box. It's about which traits do you have, which qualities do you have that you use a lot.
Welcome to the Happy Entrepreneur Podcast. This is a podcast for people who look at business differently. It's for founders, freelancers, change makers, and freedom seekers who want to make money, do good, and be happy. We choose the path of the happy entrepreneur not to get rich, but to express ourselves and serve others in the most authentic way we can. Many of us couldn't find our role by working for others, and so we chose to work for ourselves. We took the more uncertain path, not because we wanted to, but because we needed to. We value learning, play, and friendship, and we have a need to make a meaningful impact in the world. By following the path of the happy entrepreneur, we learn as much about ourselves as we do about business. On this podcast, I have conversations with other happy entrepreneurs from different walks of life, industries, and countries. We talk about the journey and about what we learned about ourselves along the way. For us, entrepreneurship isn't just a way to make money, but a journey of self-discovery and growth. If you're on the same path and are looking for inspiration and connection, then this podcast is for you. Recently, I caught up with community member Becky DeCuna, founder of Courage Lab, a consultancy that helps founders and organizations build more resilient and higher-performing teams. She shared with me a tool that she uses a lot in her work called Lumina Spark. It's a psychometric profiling tool that measures the level to which we exhibit different personality traits. I'm always curious about new tools that help us unpick the spaghetti of thoughts and emotions that make up who we are. Knowing more about ourselves can help us design the right businesses for us. It's hard to define what success means for you if you don't know who you are. Building a happy startup isn't just about making money while creating a positive impact in the world. It's also about going on a journey of self-discovery, discovering our limiting beliefs and being aware of our unconscious biases can help us become more intentional and powerful in business. It allows us to act despite our fears and make big decisions, even though we don't have all the information. During this episode, Becky tells me more about Lumina Spark and how it works. We also discuss our own individual lunar portraits. These are the psychometric reports created by the tool and what we learned from them. If you'd like to learn a little bit more about Lumina and how it could help you, then listen on. It's nearly a year since we last talked on the podcast.
It is, yeah. I think it was it August, September, something like that?
Well, I've got here, I don't know, maybe it was the time we booked it in, but I have 26th of July.
Oh, wow.
As the time that I had you booked in, and maybe I released it later in the year.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's amazing.
And even if it isn't true, let's run with it because it's a great story.
Yeah, I love it. It's a little annual catch up.
A year on.
Yeah. Well, there's pressure there then, isn't there?
Well, part of the conversation, this is why there's two strands to this conversation that I thought was important. The core is Lumina, and since we've worked on that together, and you know, you've helped me find some, you know, clarify some insights about myself through that. I thought that would be really useful. And then the other conversation is around your journey over the past year as an entrepreneur, if you want to take on that mantle.
Yeah.
And what changes have happened for you, and really, I think the underlying the thread, the word is growth, And I see it with Lumina is personal growth. And then that tying to you and your growth personally and as a business and what that means for you. And who I'd love to talk to, anyone who's like classes them as a founder or a freelancer, who's doubting where they're going next, and what they're going to do next. And they're wanting to really get some real sense of a clear direction and their own sense of purpose. And they're asking those questions, all right, what does it mean for me to do meaningful work? How can I really engage with the world that makes most sense to me? And not sure how to answer that question and trying different ways to answer that question. And I see, you know, for me, particularly the work we do is part of that puzzle is self-knowledge.
Yeah.
And the more we're able to understand ourselves and where we play best or play strongest and maybe play weakest, that gives us some guidelines as to how to create value in the world in a way that is powerful and aligned. And I'm just trying to look here for a little quote that comes from the Lumina Spark document you sent through. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. Good old Viktor Frankl.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Yeah, I love that. I thought you'd like that one, actually. That quote.
So that for me feels like the glue for a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about. But let's start with you.
So a year ago, I think I just started working with Alan Wick, doing, he was providing a bit of coaching and mentoring on positioning. And back then, I think when you and I talked, it was all about I thought that the business was going to be all about empathy, because that is a lot of what I do, is about building empathy in people and teams and businesses. But actually, I realized in the kind of months ahead, I guess around the end of the summer or maybe autumn, that actually it was about courage. That's kind of what that's the essence, really, or the most important bit of my work, that it's about helping people to become courageous. So whether that's individuals kind of understand the self-knowledge you were talking about and being courageous enough to really learn about themselves and grow in that, in their self-knowledge and then their self-development, and to look at the kind of, you know, the shadow side and all of that, and to grow themselves, but also about building courageous leaders, courageous teams, courageous workplaces, and helping people to have courageous conversations that build kind of courageous relationships. So that was quite exciting, realizing that actually it's courage. That's what I'm about.
Well, what I'm hearing there is this kind of this journey of clarity of how you position yourself and present yourself, essentially. And so I think what I'm curious is actually what did positioning mean to you before, if anything, and then what have you learned through this kind of journey with Alan? Because I think that'd be a useful thing to share in terms of anyone else trying to work out, you know, thinking about their business.
Yeah, good question. Well, I think actually I'm thinking back, when I first got in touch with Alan, so about a year ago, maybe just over, I think it was what I thought I wanted help with was wasn't what I actually needed, probably. So I didn't go to him thinking it was going to be about positioning, because I don't think I knew anything about positioning really then. I think I went to him saying I need to, you know, I was a few months into being freelance, I guess, a few months, 4-6 months into going freelance, and wanted to grow my direct client base and start reducing the amount of associate work I was doing for other companies. So I wanted to, you know, build the business, I guess, get more direct income and make it more sustainable financially. And I think I was And at the beginning, we were talking about how almost short-term measures. So the first conversation we started off talking about, he was you know, giving me insights into, well, talking about just really focusing in on mediation, and being really clear on that. And so at the beginning, I just changed everything in terms of my LinkedIn profile and everything. I made it all about mediation, so it's just really sharp. And actually, then I think I had another session with him, and it started to become clear that I it was about more than mediation. I wanted, although I could do that as a kind of quick fix to get some work in, actually the work I love doing is, oh, I can resolve complex conflicts, and I love doing that. But actually, the reason I love doing it is not the resolution, it's the growth that comes from it. To use your word, it's the transformation of individuals and of the relationships that kind of goes part beyond that relationship, so that resolution. So, and it's also the preventative work, the stuff that stops those conflicts from occurring. So we then started, then Alan kind of shared with me this, gave me the option, I guess, of doing some deeper, more challenging work, which was around positioning. And it was around really thinking about what do I want to be known for, and by who. And his kind of one of his analogies, which I found really helpful, was the thinking about if you're fly fishing and what bait you'd use to, you need to know what fish you want to catch before you work out what bait you want to use. And it's that kind of stuff around sharpening some of that. But also, I guess what I found really helpful was it was quite a long process actually, but really, really, really powerful. He's amazing. And it was about, really honing it down to if there was one word that I want my website to speak of, or my brand to speak of, or want people to think of me for, what would that be? And that was where I started. At the beginning, I was thinking, is it empathy? And then I realized it wasn't quite sitting, it wasn't working. And then it was, I can't actually remember the term point, but when I did get to the point where I realized it was courage, it was amazing. It's like, this is it. This is, and then once I knew that, once I knew it was about courage, that I wanted my brand to not be, you know, to be quite bold and courageous, challenging as well as empathetic, then it helped me to come up with a design brief that was completely different to what I'd been talking about with the designer. He had to wait, you know, 9 months, basically, the poor designer, but he's brilliant too, Louis. That made it really helped then, because I knew that's what I wanted. I wanted that to be, courage to be what was evoked. And I'm hoping I've achieved that.
That's great. There's something there around, and working, sort of remembering my experience of running a web design studio, that when you have a real clear understanding of your why, all of the other decisions start to become a lot easier.
Yeah.
Less picky and finickety about colors and schemes and just going around in circles. It becomes, I represent this, make it happen.
Yeah, it's so true. It's amazing, actually, because it means, because before that, I think the designer, you know, a year ago or whatever, when I first got this designer on board, he'd asked me to, you know, he was trying to create a mood board and get me to think about colour schemes and things. And I just, you know, I didn't know where to start. It's like, well, I like those colours, but I don't know whether that, there's a load of colours I like, how does that help? Whereas once I knew it was about courage, it's like, I knew it was orange, you know, it was one of the key colours I wanted. It makes so much sense. Once I knew it was, and courage, I guess I didn't say, but for me, the root of the word courage is core, like the Latin word is core, so it's about heart. Brené Brown talks quite a lot about courage in that sense. So the work that I do is about helping people to be vulnerable in their conversations and in their relationships, so helping them to speak the truth from their heart. So it's not a kind of heroism, like a bravery courage. It's more about honesty and empathy. Taking risks in relationships so that they kind of deepen and get stronger. And once I understood that, again, the kind of design stuff all flows from that, and the messaging flows from it. So it's really exciting kind of process.
I feel it also and a real benefit is that you become much more clear about what you want.
Yeah.
And that's what every designer or solution maker just wants. But tell me, what is it? What's the brief? A real clear brief, so you're not bouncing around in different places. And also you're really confident.
Yeah.
It's like, this is it. I'm not shifting. I'm not going to, this is what that also really helps, because it creates some boundaries and constraints, so you don't just go round and round in circles all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And it helped me to realize that the people that I love working with are people that kind of aspire to be courageous in that way. And which might sound strange, but I don't think everybody does. Like, I think some people, some clients do just want a quick fix, and they're not really interested in, they just want a toxic team functioning again. And again, I can do that work, but the work that I really love doing is working with clients who, maybe senior leaders, who really want to understand themselves better, and they want to learn to step out of their comfort zone and to have those kind of difficult conversations, but do it well. And they know that maybe they avoid conflict, or they find it difficult to be direct, or maybe they struggle to be empathic, whatever the struggle might be, and they want to kind of shift that. And that's the kind of, even working that out was really helpful, like working out the type of person I like to work with, in terms of their aspirations.
The way I interpret that, listening to you there, is this sense of purpose. It's like, this is what I can do.
Yeah.
And linking that to this sense, this self-knowledge of this is where I thrive. This is what really gives me energy or joy even. But there's a sense of contribution there.
Yeah.
And there's this purpose now. This is how I can help in this current situation.
Yeah.
And that for me ties to this idea of like self-knowledge, understanding what is this all about for me. How do I fit in this the grand scheme of things? And that can be a challenging question for a lot of people. Lead you in circles trying to understand who you are and what you're good at. It can also, from my experience of doing this work and talking to people, it can take people to some difficult places, because it sheds a light on maybe what they could perceive as shortcomings. Rather than another way of looking, a different perspective, and this is where I found this work that we were doing with the Lumina splash, I think they call it, a really useful tool to help create some structure, because as you know, a bit of structure, around this and this work of trying to understand yourself. So what I thought would be useful is if you could talk a bit more, what is Lumina?
Yeah.
And start off with that. We can then maybe just describe a bit more about why it's important in general, and why you're particularly interested in it in your work, and how that helps you. And then maybe share a bit of some stories about our own journeys of using Lumina to give people a bit more of an insight as to how it could be useful.
Yeah, that sounds lovely. Be great. So in terms of what is Lumina, it's a learning tool, really. Lumina Spark is it's a psychometric tool, new generation psychometrics. It's a tool to understand personality. And it draws on the best of Jung, which is what Myers-Briggs came out of, Jungian thinking. And it also kind of builds on the Big Five, which is the most reputable trait-based psychometric out there. So it's a, for those that care about this, I guess it's a really reliable, accurate, valid psychometric tool, and a rigorous one. But what I love about it is that it's based on, so it doesn't stereotype like some personality style or psychometrics do. It doesn't force dichotomies. So Myers-Briggs, for instance, which has its uses, I think, but I think one of the limitations of Myers-Briggs is that it, or MBTI, is that it forces a dichotomy. So
for those people who don't necessarily know what Myers-Briggs and MBTI are? Just a quick one.
Yeah, so MBTI is Myers-Briggs. It's the Myers-Briggs type indicator, which is one of the really commonly used psychometrics out there. And you basically find out four letters or four, it's types you basically, rather than it looking at your traits, it gives you a type. So you'll be an ENFP, for instance, or a ISTJ. And don't worry for those listeners that don't know about it in some ways. What I'd say is there's limitations. I think Lumina takes the good bits, but without the limitations. So I'd encourage you to look into Lumina rather than Myers-Briggs. But basically, but for those that do know Myers-Briggs, it's quite a helpful, you can build on that knowledge with Lumina. Some Myers-Briggs, for instance, you'd be asked to choose between introversion and extroversion, and then you're somewhere on a spectrum. Whereas, which I think isn't a true portrayal of our complexity. Whereas Lumina allows you to embrace the paradox in your personality. So paradoxes. So some of us have a lot of extroversion and a lot of introversion too. For me, I've got a lot of extroversion, but I have still got some introversion there. It's not one or the other. And that introversion has really helped me in lockdown, for instance, like I was saying about the reflection, the writing and going inward. So I like the way it kind of embraces that paradox, and it also isn't biased. So it doesn't, the big five again, if anybody knows that, kind of there's a bias inherent in it, in that it's quite loaded as well. So it will be measuring agreeableness, for instance, and not many people want to be low in agreeableness or low in conscientiousness. Whereas Lumina kind of measures and values all of the qualities that are in the Lumina spark independently of each other. It's also a positive psychology tool. It looks at qualities, it looks at your strengths, which I really like. So it's about traits, not typing you, not putting you in a box. It's about which traits do you have, which qualities do you have that you use a lot. And then it also looks at, the other thing I like is that it looks at your personas. So there's more depth to it, I guess. It looks at three personas. Your underlying persona, so that's your natural you, almost how you love to be, what you do if you didn't have to, if you didn't have to adapt to clients or to, and who would you be then? How would you kind of, if you don't have to,
if no one was looking?
Exactly, yeah. How would you be if no one was looking? So your natural kind of underlying persona, and then it also measures your everyday persona. So that's how you show up. And sometimes we dial up or dial down the underlying stuff that we have because we need to function in a certain environment. It's quite contextual and cultural sometimes. So how are we every day? And then the third persona it measures is overextensions. So what's our overextended persona? What I like to think of it is, where do we overplay our strengths or do too much of them? Where do we, and it could be that when we're under stress or under pressure, it could just be that we like kind of, we like operating that or using that trait or that quality, and we just do too much of it, and sometimes it has an impact on other people or on us. So I find that really useful as a tool for growth. There's a bit more depth to work with it. And in terms of why I think one of your questions was why it matters or why it's useful. And I think you kind of said it quite well earlier. I think for me, everything starts with self-knowledge, I think. I think without self-knowledge, we can't run effective businesses, we can't have effective relationships, and so I think it has to kind of start with self. And for me, it's partly about what you were saying earlier, Carlos, around something about alignment, like knowing that if you know yourself well and what you love and what you do well and what your strengths are, you can then make sure your work is aligned to that, whether you're working within someone else's, an employee, or whether you're running your own business. It's about kind of trying to shape your role and your work around those strengths. And find the complementarity as well in the people around you, like how to do your best work. And then there's an element of where you're working with others, how to bring out the best in others, that comes from that self-knowledge. So then understand others. I often think I see that a lot of teams have done work with, or businesses have done work with, say, one of those psychometrics like Myers-Briggs or something, and the individuals in the team have almost been left in this space where they know that they're different, but they're just left there with this sense of, so some people are left feeling maybe ashamed because they're different to others. Some are maybe left feeling resentful, like nobody cares about me or nobody values me. But whatever it is, it's unhelpful, I think. And for me, it's something about moving beyond self-knowledge to adaptability, taking responsibility for how we operate, how we are, how we show up, and being willing to adapt and to show empathy for others. And that's where I use it a lot in my work, in coaching, in mentoring people, in mediating, facilitating. It's helping people to really celebrate their strengths and what they bring that's quite unique, but also to consider the impact of maybe some of their extensions on others, and to create a safe space for them to consider that, and to help them to think about what the strengths of the other person is as well, and where they might be different. They might not have seen them as strengths. They might have just seen them as irritations previously. I'm using it, I'm starting to use it quite a lot within my work. So to enhance my work with teams, for instance, if I'm facilitating doing a team building. So my hope is to do quite a lot of that in the autumn, for instance, as teams need to reform or are starting to reform physically probably, or if they're still working remotely, it's coming out of lockdown and needing to work out who are we now as a team, how can we strengthen our team. And I think Lumina is a great tool for that.
If you're a drug dealer, you shouldn't get high on your own supply, but at the same time, if you're going to put someone through this work, it's useful to have done it yourself.
Yeah,
so that you can really empathize and connect and tell them I think empathy, know what it's like and what it means to do this work. And you've done it yourself through and that's, I'm assuming and we worked together to work on my own Spark and profile. And so maybe share a bit what you've found for yourself through this work and how you've used that knowledge.
I suppose other things that I've learned about myself that's been helpful, I think, is, and the reason I like, another reason why I like Lumina, what I was saying around the not being boxed or stereotyped, is that one of my paradoxes, I suppose, is that I score quite highly or in terms of the questionnaire on empathetic. That's a big fact, that very high for me. That's as underlying and everyday. I also use logic a lot, and the two of those in terms of decision making can seem paradoxical, and usually people prefer one. So I have a preference for the empathy. If I'm making decisions, I'll be thinking most important thing, particularly in stress, is how are the people going to be, are we taking people with us, rather than, and is it fair, might take precedent over, is it going to be the best outcome? But it's been good to kind of embrace that I do both. I have the logic in me too, and I want a good outcome. But I think I use empathy to get to that outcome. And I guess the other one, another reflection for me has been around another kind of paradox maybe, is the spontaneity versus reliability. And I definitely prefer being in the spontaneous space, and actually it's been great being free to work in my own, with my own rhythms since working for myself. And I've realized that, so I guess it's just been a realization that I can do the reliability stuff, you know, the discipline bit, but actually I'm doing it for other people more than for myself. I'm doing it to kind of make sure I'm, you know, respecting other people, but I prefer to kind of go with the flow. So even like knowing that and realizing the things that are underlying that my preferences, and then knowing it's helped me to look at Lumina and realize that actually I can dial these things up, but it can be stressful if I have to do it too much, to know what the costs of that are. And I guess there's something about, I think I found it a really powerful tool in terms of, there's a sense, I think, with things like this, when you find a good one, a good tool for self-knowledge, that it, I heard someone say once that that you feel a sense of, when it kind of describes you well, you feel a mix of relief and shame. And I think that's really good. They're really good measures, because I think it's true. I think there's a relief that, yes, that is me. And I've got a language to describe some of these qualities now. But there's also a bit of shame, and you might be able to talk to this a bit as well around any insights for you, that there's a sense of shame of, oh, you're seeing this stuff kind of on a page, and it's like, oh, that's me. It's an awkwardness as well, and the things we don't want to face as well, particularly overextensions. So for me, an overextension is where I can overplay the empathy and care too much about what others are thinking and feeling, and then lose sight of my own stuff in there. And I might not say no enough. And that has obviously a kind of a big cost in terms of stress and self-care.
What you're illustrating there is this awareness of, firstly, where your tendencies lie, as I understand, and where you're naturally drawn to. But that also being a result not just of your innateness, but also the environment. So I think this is the thing that I really found interesting with Lumina, and I thought fascinating, was to have that, essentially the mix of nature and nurture. Well, nature, nurture, and now. What environment you're in at the moment. And so this whole idea of, are you being fixed for life, is false.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And being able to have that appreciation of, actually, I dial things up and dial things down as well based on the context. And I have the possibility to do different things in different ways. And, you know, moving on to my reflections on this piece, having done a lot of this kind of floundering in self-knowledge, the Lumina tool was one of the tools that I found really useful in terms of having some anchor. I think the journey of self-knowledge is like being, particularly at the beginning, I would akin to being a helium balloon in a storm. You can be blown in so many different directions because you're trying to work out where your anchor points are. And then having tools like this at least start to give you a reference point of, like, okay, this is something I can hold on to and where I can get some level of stability. And so what I discovered, which I had a knowledge about, so the knowledge around this idea of structure, needing structure and needing to have structure around me, that was something that I had a real strong instinct that that's part of how I act in the world. But there's also the level of shame around it, because when I think about structure, I think about very consistent, reliable way of doing things. And when you are in the entrepreneurial world, where it's about reacting and responding and uncertainty and change, you feel like, is this world really for me? Am I really suited to this place? And so that can be really challenging when you identify with that world of structure and being able to create structure, and then seeing that, oh, actually, is this actually valuable in this world? And that other aspect of, and I did a similar exercise in the Alps in one of our first altitude retreats around leadership. And the, and this was an exercise where, like, you know, quadrants on a floor. And so you stood where you felt most drawn to. And I really remember, like, I was on one end and everyone else was on the other. It was like diametrically opposed. It's like, ooh, am I in the right place?
Yeah.
What I've come to understand here is that part of my need for structure is a dialing down of the inspiration stuff. It's like, it's not that it isn't part of me, it's something I really enjoy, there's something that I take joy from, but I've dialed it down for whatever reason, because of the way I'm working or the kind of environment I'm in, because I'm surrounded by so many people who are doing the inspiring bit. It's the structure that seems to have dialed up. And another level isn't only just because it's needed, and this is the thing that I've been reflecting on since we worked together, because there's those traits and the strengths, but there's also the needs and the feelings. And so I relate it to a certain level for to a need of safety. And so safety being predictability. And so I've linked the idea to overplay or the structure creation as also being affected by this need for safety, to know, okay, everything's going to be okay. I know, need for predictability. I know what's going to happen next. But that isn't, and this is where this awareness becomes more interesting, because like you're saying here, I love the free flow and emergent aspect of these kind of conversations, and being in that space of uncertainty is not, you know, I don't run away from it. It's just there's another need for safety that then unconsciously triggers my overplaying of structure and taking control, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess the reframing question around that would be, what enables you to feel safe, psychologically safe, I guess, enough to then be able to use the other qualities that you want to use more?
And this is why I think it's such powerful work for co-founding teams, for teams and businesses. If you're able to really understand each other as to, okay, rather than feel like, oh no, they're being overbearing now, is okay, I see why that's coming out, and it's kind of, and it's, I assume, again, not even assume, I'm curious as to whether that's linked to, because this other aspect that of your work, which I believe around nonviolent communication, is not always assuming why people the way they behave, but having a level of curiosity as to the motivations for people's actions, and an understanding and a language to then communicate why, what those actions are.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's such a powerful thing.
Yeah.
And I see that, whether that's in a company or a co-founding team, and why I'm super excited about it within a community.
Yeah, me too. And I agree. It's that that's one of the things I worked with these co-founders, was looking at how one of them is very demonstrative, and that's a real strength in many ways. You know, she's able to express her emotions. She's enthusiastic, high energy, the stuff that comes with that quality of being demonstrative. But when that goes into overextension, it becomes, you use the word, overbearing. And so for her to... and for them to have a conversation about what triggers the shift from demonstrative into overbearing, where does it become overbearing, and what's the impact of that on both of them, and how can she rein it back in so it stays a strength that really helps them both because they need it. What will kind of, what's almost the path back to composure out of that overextension. And I agree with you, the understanding that comes with from that in communities and in workplaces is really rich. And even one of the things I loved about the conversation you and I had last week around Lumina was around some of the inherited beliefs and beliefs that we have about kind of what is, what strengths are, what qualities are actual strengths and what are, you know, they just are. But maybe like the way you, the relationship you have around with the word structure, I think is interesting, isn't it? That there's a sense of shame around it, as you say, like, is it really valuable or is it boring? And there's something about kind of having those conversations as well that's useful to, because all of these qualities are really valuable in their own right. But we all have, there's reasons, whether it's kind of, whether it's the people that we're around or whether it's kind of what we've, how we've been brought up, you know, in terms of where we, what we think is valuable and what isn't. And to kind of celebrate some of those and to look at where, but also to recognize that you're not just that, as you say, you're not, you're more than one quality. You're, which is why I think, why I like Lumina, because it doesn't fix you. It's like you can look at maybe what your five most claimed kind of traits are at the moment, but you're able to pull on the others as well, and you're it's a diverse picture. You're and it's a colourful portrait. It's not just, you're not just one thing.
Well, the most useful part I found so far is this difference between your underlying personality and the thing you use every day, and I found that a really interesting insight into current actions, how I behave right at the moment. And I that's why I was really keen to have this conversation, because I think it's a tool, as I understand it, there's an app and there's a kind of a light version that people can try. It's something I would love to get more of our community to do, just to start creating this picture and making it a source of conversation and connection. And then, you know, being able to do it more deeply, and I think it becomes another way to understand, even a very practical co-founding way. We have to just use this tool to know whether we're a good fit, but it's a great conversation or starter, or like a common language to start talking about other aspects of what it means to be in business together. Not just about the complementary skills, but the traits, the needs, the goals, the dreams, the visions, all of these softer things that are going to make for a much harder foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. And even I've been thinking about how since COVID, and we're all in this obviously very stressful environment that no one's chosen, and with a lot of uncertainty and different pressures, I think of it as well as where, looking at the community, where are there qualities that I kind of need, you know, where, in terms of creating a team, a supportive team, a supportive community around us. And there are people like Patrick in the community who I've, you know, found a great sense, source of support in lockdown, you know, regular phone calls. And it's because I know he brings qualities that I don't have in abundance. And it's just really refreshing. I know I can, if I get lost a little bit, it brings a different way of looking at something. He brings a different lens. So it helps us, I think, to build that community, doesn't it, around us, of what we need, as you say, for balance and for clarity. So in terms of the app, people can go into the App Store and look for Lumina Splash, and it's free. It takes 2 minutes, but it's quite fun, and you can ask those questions. It's very quick. It's like a speed read of your personality. And then it'll give you a little splash, and you can, and it gives you kind of a summary of the different, it looks at the 8 aspects. Yeah, it gives you a nice little, like a little mini portrait. And it's quite fun because you can then scan other people's, you know, you could do it with Lawrence, and you can overlay the portraits and look for where the differences are. And it gives a little comparison of the two.
At that level, it's a conversation starter.
Yeah,
it's a great way to just, share some stories and some insights or some personal reflections into why that splash came about. Ultimately, I think the goal is then how can you open up a deeper conversation
Yeah.
Creates either collaborations, connections, co-founding even, but that another level of understanding each other. And ultimately, the more that we can create this sense of understanding and do it from a place of compassion, then we can achieve our mission of creating a peaceful, harmonious world.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we want to do. We want everyone to get on well and do the things they need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not an artificial harmony. It's a courageous, people can have kind of conflict, but it's constructive. And as you say, there's a kind of deeper harmony in terms of knowing that you're working towards the kind of same end. So yeah, I agree completely.
Thank you very much, Becky, for this conversation. I'm hoping those who've listened to us are now intrigued by the idea of the Lumina and can have a play with it. But ultimately, it's hopefully given them an insight as to why some of these questions that we ask ourselves, particularly our mission at the Happy Startup School, this kind of parallel journey of self-knowledge and business knowledge, why those two can really complement. And make us more powerful and purposeful in the work we do.
Yeah, love. It's been lovely to talk about it with you, Carlos. Thank you for the chance to have this conversation. It's been illuminating.
Thank you for listening to the Happy Entrepreneur Podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Also, if you'd like to learn more about being a happy entrepreneur and want to connect with more people like you, then go to our website, thehappystartupschool.com, and subscribe to our newsletter. Amongst many other things about business and life, we'll help you answer the following questions. How can I serve others by being myself? And how can I discover who I really am by serving others?